Disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." After saying this, he spat on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Good morning, church. Jesus is still in the business of miracles. Look at that. My name is Winnie, for those of you who don't know me, and I am the curate of Hen Hill Parish Church. Today we continue in our series of Hope When It Hurt, and we are learning from Jesus this morning from the book of John, as it was read to us beautifully by Alan. Before I start, may I draw your attention that my talk may be a bit challenging. And if anything or my words stir anything in your heart or triggers anything, there'll be a group of people here to pray with you at the end of the service, and I will encourage you to let someone stand with you in prayer before you leave. Let us pray. Oh Lord, I pray that as we look through scriptures, your words will come to life. And as you speak through me, may my words bring healing instead of hurt. May you restore instead of diminish. And may the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, I pray. Amen. Today we are looking at one of the most profound encounters in the gospel. A story that speaks directly to anyone who has ever asked, why? Why God? Why in the midst of suffering? John 9:1-7 gives us a window into how Jesus transformed our understanding of pain, purpose, and hope. And what does it mean when it asks the wrong question? If you've got your Bible open, you notice what the disciples ask. Who sinned? The disciple questions reveal something deep in human nature. They see a man born blind and immediately assume that somebody must be blamed for it. This was everyday theology in Jesus' days. Suffering equals punishment. If you are hurting, you must have done something wrong. Does that sound familiar? The same question echoes through scriptures. In the book of Job, his friends insisted that his suffering must be punishment. But God later rebuked them for it. In Luke 13:1-2, When people told Jesus about the Galileans who blood platter had defied in sacrifice, they implied that those victims must be worse sinners. Jesus said, "Do you think they were worse sinners? I tell you, no." How often do we do the same thing when diagnosis comes, when the job is lost, when the relationship crumbles, our mind races? What did I do wrong? Is God punishing me? Did I not have enough faith? The disciples' questions reveal something deeper in human nature, the tendency to look for blame in suffering. Jesus completely dismantled that thinking. Neither this man or his parents sinned. Full stop. The premises of their question is flawed. Not all suffering is punishment. Not all pain is consequence. Sometimes suffering is a simple part of living in a broken world. Theologians have wrestled with what it means. Some emphasize that we live in a fallen world. Genesis 3 tells us that suffering enters through sin, cosmic effect, not because each suffering person sinned individually. Others, especially liberation theologians, note that Jesus confronting a religious system that used theology to blame marginalized people and those who are suffering. But they all agree on this. Jesus does not add guilt to your pain. This might not sound liberating news when you are hurting. Let's look at a different purpose. But Jesus does not correct the disciples' theology. He reframes it entirely. This happened so that the work of God might be displayed in him. Now, this is a very difficult statement that we need to handle carefully. It is one most debated statement in scriptures. Some theologians highlight God's sovereignty, but it's important to see what Jesus does not say. He is not saying that God caused this man's blindness in order to show off a miracle. Instead, he is saying that even in that man's long life condition, God has not been absent. God can take the most painful part of our story, even the ones that we did not choose or will not choose, and redeem them. We see these patterns through scriptures. When Lazarus was sick in John 11, Jesus said, "This sickness is for God's glory, so God's Son may be glorified through it." Paul writes in Romans 8 that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. The man's blindness became a canvas for God's glory. Not because suffering is good. It is not. Jesus is clearly moving to heal it. God can take what was meant to be broken or break us and use it to reveal his character. Think about what this means for your head. I would like to encourage you that your struggle is not meaningless. Your pain is not invisible to God. Your circumstances It's not beyond his ability to redeem. We notice also the timing. This man had been blind for decades. Where was God in all of this? Right there, working and preparing, moving all of history towards this very moment when Jesus will walk by. Sometimes the works of God are not immediate. Sometimes God's glory is displayed, not just in the healing, but in the endurance, the faithfulness through the long night of waiting. This is not just an abstract theology. It is personal because I have lived it. There was a season in my life when I asked the same questions the disciple asked. Why, God? Where are you in this? What possible purpose could this pain serve? Let me share with you what I mean for my own life. It began with grief. At 31, I lost my father. Or let me put it blind, I buried my father. A decade later, I lost my auntie. The one who had shaped my faith more than anyone. She taught me what it means to love your neighbor as yourself. Their death left a silence in my soul. I didn't know how to fill it. Then came betrayal. A church I once called home, where I had served, loved, and built community, was shaken by racism. The experience wounded me deeply. I left my post in the church, unsure of where I belong. And when I was running and lost, I sensed God quietly calling me into a new vocation in the middle of that pain. Then came fear. Two years ago this month, my brother suffered a sudden stroke. For 6 weeks, he couldn't walk. I held on onto hope. But inside, I was broken. At a Eucharist healing, at residential seminary training, whilst I was training in my ordination training. We had a Eucharist night, and honestly, that was the last place I expected God to meet me. I broke down, and I cried out, and I cried out, and I cried out. Not with polished faith, but with raw, desperate honesty. And the very next day, I receive a video from my brother that he has started walking. He's still recovering. That moment did not erase the pain that came before it. But it became a turning point, a reminder that even in that darkness, Jesus had been there all along. He was there in my grief. He was there in my betrayal. He was there in my confusion and was certainly there that moment of unexpected healing for my brother. I have known rejection. I have known uncertainty. I have known the long night of waiting. But I can say with confidence, God was never absent. He walks and works always being displayed, sometimes quietly, sometimes suddenly, but always faithful. And he has not failed me yet. I want to assure you that Jesus works in the darkness. In the scriptures, Jesus said something intriguing. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. He is speaking literally about his approaching death. But there is something deeper, a principle here. Jesus works urgently because he knows darkness is coming. In scriptures, darkness doesn't only refer to sin. It also represents confusion, pain, fear, and uncertainty. And in this man's life, it had been dark for a very long time. But even in that darkness, Jesus finds him. He is already at work while it is still night in this man's life. When you are in darkness, when hope feels distant, Jesus is already there. He doesn't wait until your circumstances improve before he shows up. He enters that darkness and declares, I am the light of the world. And this is the heart of the gospel. God does not stand at a distance analyzing your pain. He enters into it. He is our Emmanuel, the God who is with us. Jesus could have healed the man with words, but he chose to get his hands dirty. Literally, he makes mud and touches blind eyes. When it hurts, Jesus gets closer. He is not afraid of our mess. So how do we process healing? Look at what Jesus does. He makes mud, applies it, and tells the man, go wash. There is a process here. Healing isn't instantaneous at the point of touch. The man has to walk to Siloam in faith, still blind, with mud on his face. Can you imagine that walk? People had seen him begging for years. Now he walks through Jerusalem with mud on his eyes. Following the instructions of a rabbi, most of them were soon crucified. It didn't look very smart. It required faith. Sometimes, hope when it hurts means taking next step before you can see the outcome. It means trusting Jesus even when the healing hasn't come yet. Even when you still can't see clearly. Even when others might think you are foolish for believing. The man went, wash, he saw. So how can we hope for today? What this passage teaches us about finding hope when it hurts is, first, Your suffering is not punishment. Jesus removes that burden constantly throughout scriptures. Second, God can use your pain for purposes you cannot see yet. Even Paul had a thorn in his flesh that God didn't remove. Instead, God said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Sometimes God's glory is displayed not just in removing suffering, but sustaining us through it. Thirdly, Jesus is present in your darkness. He is the light of the world, and light shines brightest in darkness. Fourthly, healing often requires faith and action on our part, even before we see the results. And finally, there is an even greater healing coming. Revelation 21 promises a day when God will wipe every tear from their face. There will be no more death, no more mourning, or crying, or pain. What Jesus did for this man is a preview of what he will do for all creation. We live in already, but not yet. Jesus brought a kingdom, but we are waiting for its completion. Brothers and sisters, as I draw close to my talk, if you are hurting today, Jesus sees you. Just as Jesus saw this man, he sees you. Your pain is not invisible. Your circumstances is not beyond his reach. And even if the healing doesn't come in your timeline, even if you are still waiting, Jesus is the light of the world. And that light shines brightest in the darkness. Take your next step of faith. Walk to your salvation. Trust that the work of God will be displayed. Let us pray. Jesus has not failed you yet. Orange Almeida, Orange Almeida, Yesu doi, Orange Almeida, Adekru naminim, Sebebia rameko, Yesu doi, Orange Almeida. Never failed me yet, never failed me yet, Jesus' love. Never failed me yet. There's one thing that I know, that wherever I go, Jesus' love. Never failed me yet. Orange Almeida, Orange Almeida, Yesu doi, Orange Almeida, Adekru naminim, Sebebia rameko, Yesu doi, Orange Almeida. Jesus paid it all. to him I own. Sin has left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. My dear brothers and sisters, the Lord is near. Our pain is not so distant from him. The song goes on to say, Lord, now indeed I find your power and thine alone. It's you who can change the leopard spots and melt the heart of stone. Lord, when we have gone through so much pain that our heart hath become stone, may you melt it for us, Lord, and draw us closer to you, Lord. You are the Savior who can do more than we can ask, just like you have shown through my life, through the scriptures, Lord. And we still believe that you are in the business of healing. So, Lord, I pray for every individual sitting in this pew today, how little, how small the pain or the healing needs, how massive, how big. Lord, may you move today. Lord, I pray not because I have authority or power, but I believe in your healing power. You said you go and you gift us with your Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, come. Come and set us free. Take that shackle of pain away from us. Take the shackle of darkness away from us, Lord. Release us and allow us to see the glory of God. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen.
Thank you so much, Winnie. We're going to continue in singing now, so I invite you to stand. And during this time, if you'd like prayer at all, please do go down by the front. We'd be very happy to pray for you.
Everybody, just look at the words of this hymn. Doesn't the sermon resonate in this song? Longing for light. Why? We wake in darkness.